From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Show on the air, as Mr. Big Voice announcer says. Thanks so much. Glad to hang out with you for a little while today. This portion of the program being brought to you by great friends over at Cousin Subs. That's where they believe in better. And at Cousin Subs right now, they have gyros. That's what they have. They have gyro meat or the chicken, all seasoned, all served properly with all the fixings, the cheeses, the tzatziki sauce, the cucumbers, the whole thing. If you're looking for a really good eat, for a limited time only, by the way, go to Cousin Subs. Cousin Subs, you can download the app on any mobile device. You can go to CousinSubs.com or just stop into the store. Just stop in and tell them you want one of those good gyros. Pick out which meat you want. You are good to go. If you're a gyro fan, it is back. It's at Cousin Subs for a limited time only, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Time now for buy or sell. Let's do this.
In the world of sports, a lot of people say a lot of things. But does it pass the big unit test? Let's play Buy or Sell. Brought to you by Bryant & Stratton College Athletics, offering athletic scholarships in 12 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com. This is the Bill Michaels Show.
Some buy or sell. Radio Joe Zanzola is sitting across from me with all the good stuff. What's up?
Well, there's a lot of good stuff we haven't even talked about this week because of all the McCarthy stuff. So this buy or sell has nothing to do with the Packers.
All right.
So yesterday, the St. Louis Cardinals go out and acquire Paul Goldschmidt.
How about that, huh?
Gold Glover, first baseman, slugger, Brewer killer. Buy or sell, the Goldschmidt trade makes things even tougher now for the Brewers win the NL Central.
Buying it in a heartbeat. I said I didn't expect the Brewers to be really aggressive. I think they're going to stick with what they've got. And I think for the most part, rightfully so. First base to me is still... Look, I like Jesus Aguilar. And I think he's fun, good to watch. His glimpses into the camera after he hits a home run... It's all great, but he's got to duplicate that for this team to be successful. I don't know if he can. Goldschmidt, they needed a guy at first. They needed a stick. Their offense was woeful last year. They needed something, and they just got a shot in the arm, and it got a veteran along the way. Now, it's not a young team, but now they got another veteran along the way that's got some been there, done that to him. So, I think, yes, to answer your question, I'm buying it in a heartbeat. It has made this division that much tougher for the Milwaukee Brewers to be able to repeat. Even if he steals a couple of games. If Goldschmidt comes in and hits one home run that gives them a game, that gives them a win, look at it this way. If he did it this past year, the Brewers would not have been in the situation they were. Goldschmidt makes it tougher.
Buy or sell?
The NL Central man's going to be nuts. So, buy or sell, and this might be a future topic on this show, but the Brewers do need to counter now with a big move of their own after yesterday's move.
See, I don't know if a big move is in the cards. If you're going to go see, I mean, David Stearns admits Scope was not a bad, or was a bad trade. So do you go towards second? Do you go towards third? Because obviously you got some guys waiting in the wings right now. Do you just go find a bat? Anything that's available out there, you just go get and let the chips fall where they may? Or are you going to get a big arm? I think the Brewers are going to do something. I just don't know what. I keep waiting for something to happen. Now, this was prior to... Now, is the general manager's meetings next week?
Yes, the winter meetings start next week.
So they did the Goldschmidt deal without even going to the winter meetings, which is usually where all the trades are kind of... The parameters are set up. So maybe they wanted to get there to the winter meetings and get that deal done ahead of time as to not allow other teams to sit back and talk to the Diamondbacks. So I think the Brewers are going to do something, but I think it's going to be more in the realm of pitching than it is any positional player. Just my opinion.
Buy or sell?
More Brewer talk to come on this show at a later date. Stay tuned. Another topic we really haven't talked about is Kareem Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Idiot.
Total idiot.
Let me say this. I am not in any way condoning what he did. The only thing I'm saying about him is at least he owned it. Owned it now. I mean, after he's been caught, of course, and on videotape. Before that, he denied everything, which is what found him being released for the Chiefs. Had he been honest up front, maybe he hangs on. But again, it takes video to finally then say, okay, here's the truth. And we all look at it and we're all just shaking our heads in disgust. In no any circumstance should a man be putting his hands on a woman. I don't care. The only time you should is if you're just kind of fending yourself off a little bit to say, hey, okay, leave me alone. Get away from me.
I mean, I guess if she's trying to kill you.
Trying to kill you, that's one thing. If she's coming at you, then you just grab the wrist or grab the arms and, you know, whatever. I mean, if she's coming at you with a knife or something or trying to shoot you with a gun.
But
otherwise, I can't imagine any circumstance. I don't care what fight, what argument, what public display of stupidity happens. You should never, ever put your hands on a woman. Ever. Walk away.
All right, so this leads to the buy or sell on Kareem Hunt. He will never play another game ever again in the NFL.
I'm going to sell on that. As good as Ray Rice was, that was the first video that stunned us and shocked us. Joe Mixon's playing. Joe Mixon knocked a girl out.
Yeah, and there was video of that.
Now, they said, well, he was young. So he was in college. And, I mean, he knocked her out. So this was unbelievable abuse. But I think after this season, he is going to do as much, because he knows. He's now labeled like Ray Rice. And Ray Rice has never climbed out from underneath that.
You know who has climbed out of stuff like that? And this involved children. Adrian Peterson
did.
And he is still playing at a pretty good level ever since all that.
So I think Kareem Hunt climbs out of this in some ways. There'll be a team that takes a ton of heat for it. And they'll bring him in and say, look, he's repented, obviously. And then they'll talk about sensitivity training, and now he's our spokesperson for this. And they'll do all the right things, and they'll justify his presence there all in the sake of wins. But I think he actually plays again. Just a thought, but I think he plays again.
Buy or sell?
All right, let's go over to college hoops. By the way, I love the banter between Badger basketball fans and Marquette basketball fans.
Right?
It seems more and more like every day these two fan bases really do hate each other. I really do believe that. The more I see it on Twitter, at least, the more friction there is.
Now, can one fan base root for the other fan base if their team is not in it?
You know what? Not with these two.
Because last year there was, you know, some Wisconsin fans will say, hey, you know what? When Marquette went to the Final Four and Dwayne Wade and company, yeah, you know what? It was a thrilling ride. I was into it. You don't get that nearly as much when Bo Ryan was taking that team every year to the NCAA tournament.
I don't hate either one. I didn't go to either school, but I root for either one. My brother went to Marquette. A whole bunch of my friends went to Wisconsin, so I always root for both.
I root for both. You Why know? Not?
Well, okay, so this comes to the next one, and we might have more of these down the road, but buy or sell, Badger basketball, they're simply better than Marquette right now.
Boy, that's a great question.
They're the better team.
I'm going to say I'm going to buy it. I think they are, because both teams are coming off of a season last year in which it was okay. The Badgers were saying, okay, we're really banged up, let's wait. And Marquette was saying, look, we've got some guys, we got some guys coming in, but we got some guys now that we're going to get experience, we're going to really build something here, and then propel ourselves into next season, and they've done that. So I'd probably say the Badgers, but a minuscule amount behind them is Marquette. I think it's going to be a good game coming up this weekend between these two teams. But I'll
buy or sell. Okay.
Then I saw something on Twitter the other day from Jesse Temple, who writes for The Athletic and is on our show quite a bit. Question that came up. The Wisconsin Badgers being a dark horse for the national championship game? You buying that?
No. They got to do a lot more for me to buy that. Not to say it couldn't happen, but as we sit here today, no, I'm not buying that. I think they could probably make a Sweet 16. Thrill us a little bit, put us back into that March Madness spirit, especially when we're sitting out there spring training in sunny Arizona. Kind of following along, I cut out that big piece of paper out of USA Today when they put in that special NCAA tournament section. I'm filling out my brackets. Hell yeah, I can see myself sitting out there basking in the sun, watching some of those games, seeing them get to a Sweet 16, but going to the national title game? I don't think so. Just me.
That's it. We'll do it again tomorrow.
There you have it. That is Buy or Sell. Always enjoy doing it. This portion of the program is brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light. Tonight, we are on the road. We're going to be at Maxwell's in Cedarburg. Hope to see you out there. It's the Bill Michaels Huddle back out on the road again. We have got a good one coming up tonight. It's going to be Bart Winkler from 105.7 FM, The Fan. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, and we're talking a lot about this team, the state they're in, the next final four games, the firing of Mike McCarthy, the firing of Winston Moss, the lackluster play so far in the kicking game when it comes to Mason Crosby, Aaron Rodgers under the microscope. Oh, we got so much to talk about coming up tonight. It's all the Bill Michaels Huddle tonight. That is 6 to 8 on many of these same stations at Maxwell's in Cedarburg. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
To Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
The weather's like in Atlanta, Georgia. Going to be heading down there for Super Bowl this year. We'll be live from Radio Row. The Bill Michaels Show will be. Want to say thanks to a lot of our great sponsors, but some of the ones that have been with us for quite some time now that have always been faithful. That is our buddy Gino and the whole staff and crew down at the San Giorgio, downtown Milwaukee, Old World 3rd Street, right there near Kilbourne, and the only authentic Napoletana pizzeria in the state. There's only so many of them in the country, and we happen to have one right here in our own backyard. Go down and say hi to Gino. His Leanne, I tell you what, we were just talking about her today, his wife. That is going to be their, I think it's their 7th or 8th kid. You talk about Italians being fertile. That's my boy Gino. So he's go support that pizzeria because that man needs money. He's got kids everywhere. So go down and see our buddy Gino down there, Old World 3rd Street, next to a Calderon Club on the corner of Kilbourne and Old World 3rd Street, the home of the Bill Michaels Pizza, by the way. Unreal pizza, great service, and make sure, again, to say hi to Gino. And then when they give you the Bill Michaels, pair it up with Cider Boys. First Press, that's the beer, from Point Brewing, pointbeer.com. Go to pointbeer.com. Pair it up down there at San Giorgio, and can't say thanks enough to Joe Martino and the guys at Point Brewing, Stevens Point, great people there. Thanks so much for helping us out. And also our friends at Usinger's. Now, got a gathering coming up, and I got to get a hold of John Gabe down at Usinger's. If you did not know, this is the time of year Usinger's thrive. You would assume it's summertime, but this time of year, the gift boxes they have, that Northern Comfort or the Old World Medley, the pit samplers, the party, man, they have got something for every party. They have something for everybody in every gathering. Check out Usinger's. Go to Usinger.com, Usinger.com. Whether it's from the deli or the cheeses, they have it all. Go to Usinger.com and send somebody the gift box because they make great, great holiday gifts. That is from our friends at Usinger. Let's do this. Aaron Rodgers speaking with the media and had a few things to say. So he says, in response to the Winston Moss tweet, that he is held accountable. Take a listen.
I think you're taking my words a little out of context on exactly what I was saying, but I'll say this first. I think there's nobody holds me more accountable than myself. I mean, I'm always checking myself on my preparation habits and my practice habits and my mindset. But, I mean, there's always been, a great deal of accountability under Mike's program for the last 13 years. There's consequences for actions that are outside of what's in the best interest of the team. And there's never been I used to always tell him, I said, hey, you know, if you need to call on somebody in a meeting to let everybody know that we're all on the equal playing field, call on me first. You know, call me out. Just so everybody knows, there's, you know, nobody's off limits. We're holding everybody to the same standard, and I feel like that's the way it always was.
So he goes to McCarthy, says, call me out, great working relationship. I don't get it. A lot of things being said here that were not said when Mike was here. But you take him at his word. Okay. Rogers then asked to react to what Terry Bradshaw had to say, and that Rogers is the one that actually got McCarthy fired.
You know, I don't have a reaction to that. I don't need to respond to every pundit out there. You know, I don't know how many times I got to stand here and tell you. I don't feel like I need to convince anybody about Mike and I's relationship. It's a close-knit relationship. And we would finish every time that we talked, whether it's Monday afternoon up in his office or, you know, the Thursdays we used to spend in the team room or Friday upstairs or Saturday in the QB room, and we'd hug each other and tell each other we love each other. I mean, we had a close-knit bond. So, you know, again, I don't need to respond to every person out there who's got an opinion. That just opens up a whole door of stuff that I don't want to be a part of.
All right. Again, where was all this? Are you baffled by this, Joe? This love fest? Mike and I hugged. We told each other we loved each other. I you know. Do you ever hear any of this during the season?
No, not really.
You know? I don't know.
Look, there's a reason why Mike McCarthy is not here anymore. If it was so hunky-dory, regardless of how well the Packers are playing, McCarthy would still be coaching this team. But they've seen enough. And I think Rodgers, that has a part to play in it. And there's numerous examples of proof that goes into it. And the guys, after a while, just disagreed and have different ways of looking at it. I mean, I get, Bill, I understand why Rodgers doesn't want to get into this, because he doesn't want to stir the pot anymore. He doesn't want, you know what? The last thing Rodgers needs is to have the media, like us, continue to talk about this relationship.
Right.
The more and more he tries to insinuate that there was more issues behind the scenes. He is trying to stay out of it as much as possible, and he's trying to move on from it. That's what I'm reading in these answers here. He is trying to just move on. Because if he does say anything more about it, it's going to raise even more question marks.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it just...
All I care about now, this is all what I care about.
Here's my gut reaction when I hear this stuff. My first reaction is, I hope you're telling the truth. And then I sit back and go, why was it seemingly so hypocritical then? Why didn't you say anything? Why was none of this coming out when Mike was sinking and everybody knew Mike was sinking? Because nobody threw that man a life preserver. Just to say, hey, wait a minute. This is on us. This isn't on him. You know, and we've seen teams do that. Where they say, hey, this is us. This has nothing to do with this coach. He's there for us. He's got our back. He doesn't rip us in the media. We can rip him, and the guy still doesn't rip us. He still gives us credit. He still calls us competitors. He still fights for us. None of that, none of it came out. Not from one damn person in that locker room. And now you hear nothing but all this great stuff about him. I mean, granted, they're being asked direct questions. But it's kind of, when you have a chance to throw some life preservers out there, I don't know. It seems a little disingenuous sometimes to me. I hope this is all copacetic. Hey, this is good. You know, they really did have a good working relationship, no hard feelings, get fired, time to move on, whatever. But it never seemed that way.
All I care about at this point is to get a head coach in here that's going to work with Aaron and that Aaron is going to listen to, and that these guys will be able to work together, and that we see a much better offense next season, and that this team can turn it around fast. That's all I care about right now.
The other aspect of the question prior to was when he said, there's nobody harder on me or holds me more accountable than me. I get that. We all say that. We all know what we do wrong. You know inside what you do wrong. You know inside when you do something wrong, why you did it and how you did it and how you're going to explain getting out of it. We know that. You're not fooling anybody. But when it comes to coaching, to say, I don't want you to do this again, and here's the reasons why, and here's how we're going to do this, that's where you appreciate the coachability and the open mind to say, okay, if you see something I don't, get me out of this. Help me. That's what I think the disconnect has been. Then in addition to that, after 13 years, who is going to fill the void left by Mike McCarthy?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, hopefully moving forward, you know, maybe there's more voices upstairs. A lot of times, you know, Mike had to be out front in a lot of situations, and maybe moving forward, Mark talks more or Brian talks more. We all have our obligations, and most of us in the locker room adhere to those obligations pretty well. But, no, you know, it's been a different week for sure. Just not having him around.
After 13 years, I bet. Will Aaron Rodgers' role change when it comes to, you know, play calling, line of scrimmage stuff this week, and when you don't have McCarthy there?
I don't think so. I mean, that's always been part of the offense. I mean, there's check with me's, there's audibles within plays, and then there's, you know, this stuff outside of those when, you know, it's a look that we've talked about, this play into this play. But those are always stuff that we talk about during the week, and you're really never going making stuff up out there. It's conversation that you've had, and so the guys are expecting those checks when they come up.
And then in addition to that, what did it feel like at Wednesday's practice for the first time without McCarthy?
Yeah, I mean, there's a little feel of, you know, kind of the training camp almost, because it's a, you know, Mike's not here, so there's you know, new voices, and you know, everybody's kind of realizing that we're all under the microscope even more, and who knows what the changes are going to be after the season. So there's the feeling that more eyes are on all of us, you know, whether it's Mark or Brian or scouts. So I feel like the energy was good today, and there was, you know, unfortunately, the urgency that you need early in the season, we kind of had out there at practice today.
Which leads us to the next four games. Will the urgency actually begin to show up? So how will Joe Philbin's role change during the week of preparation for the game?
I don't think a whole lot. I mean, he's been, you know, putting the plans together and installing them and doing the scripts and all that. So I don't think that really is going to change. He's, you know, he's always, you know, down around our meeting room. We're always having conversations, you know, the walkthroughs, or, you know, Fridays after the second walkthrough, you know, talking through some things, and, you know, calls we might need scripted for Saturday, or stuff we need to see another rep of, stuff we don't like. So it's always been good communication during the week of preparation.
And he would also like to see changes, was asked, would he like to see changes in the final, you know, four games, offensively speaking?
I don't think you scrap the whole thing. I just think you really need to be better in situational offense if you want to win games. So, you know, we're going to pay a little more attention, even more attention, I think, to that the next couple weeks. You know, because we got to fix that if we want to win games. But it does, you know, it's hard when you put me in a corner there about execution, because that's, to me, the biggest problem we've had all season.
In addition to that, would he like to see Joe Philbin be considered, actually, I mean, because I don't think many people have talked about Joe Philbin keeping the head coaching job. Would Aaron Rodgers like to see Joe Philbin keep that job?
I mean, that's a decision that is not going to be made with my, you know, expert opinion. It'd be great to play great for him and give him an opportunity. You know, like I said, that's important. We all love Joe, especially those of us who have been here for a long time and know what he went through in 11. And then all of us were excited to have him back. Be nice to give him an opportunity.
In his expert opinion. So, in other words, listen to us. We're the guys in the trenches, but go make your own decision. So, there you have it. One more, and he was asked, will he address the team at some point, since he is the oldest player left on the roster and he'll talk about McCarthy to the rest of the guys.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a time and a place for that, and I have some stuff planned for this week with the guys. We've all had, you know, smaller conversations, the veteran guys and some of the young guys on what this is like. You know, it's new for all of us. The majority of us, I think, in this locker room have never gone through something like this. Maybe in college some guys have, so... But there's been some good conversations about the expectations and the need to stick together during this time. But no, I've got some stuff planned later in the week.
There you go. That is Aaron Rodgers talking to the media yesterday. And we'll see, you know, a different energy, he said. Talked about good practice. Talked about sense of urgency. It's a shame that it all, you know, came this late in the season. When we come back, if you didn't hear it earlier, you're going to hear it now. Dick Vitale. Long-time analyst, 40 years with ESPN, going into the Broadcasters Hall of Fame, and cannot wait to replay that for you. Dick Vitale joined us a little bit earlier today, and he was simply fantastic. Fun as always. Stay tuned. That is next in the Bill Michael Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome. Earlier today, Dick Vitale, longtime ESPN broadcaster, 40 years with ESPN, as a matter of fact, stopped by the program to join us for a little bit. He's got a new book out, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that, talk some basketball in general, but just kind of wax nostalgic about the game and about some of the greatest of the greats. And the book is the Mount Rushmore of basketball. Coaches, point guards, shooting guards, centers, all that kind of good stuff, because Dick Vitale has seen a lot. So the first question was simply, you've seen it all. So how difficult was it with everything you've seen in college basketball in the last 40 years, how difficult was it to come up with the Mount Rushmore?
Well, you know, I had a great crew with me as well. I don't know if you know Hoops Weiss. Dick Weiss is a college hoops fanatic. He's an outstanding Hall of Fame writer as well. And along with Howie Schwab, a research expert, we sat down and we knocked our brains out. And the one thing, Bill, we don't expect people to all agree, obviously. It's just a subjective feeling, and that's the beauty of it all. But I think the one thing the book does when we get great reviews is the fact that it takes you down memory lane. It brings you back to the days of thinking about some of the great teams. You think about Dean Smith's teams with Michael Jordan, Ralph Sampson, Virginia. You go down and you think about some of the great players that have played, Christian Leitners and the Patrick Ewings. And that's what we tried to do. And we got in the book the four best coaches, four best point guards, four best scoring guards, four best coaches in March, all different categories. And I think the people will like it. And the biggest thing I like, Bill, is that every dollar from the sale of the book that I would make is going for kids battling cancer. And to me, there's nothing more important than trying to help kids at this stage of my life. Very proud that we have Bo Ryan 1 year we honored at one of my galas. He's one of the guys. We've raised now, my gala, $25.3 million so far for kids. And we hope to do another $4 million this year. We're honoring Dabo Sweeney, Chris Fowler, Avery Johnson, Holly Rowe, and Lee Corso. We'll sell out over 900 people. We're hoping to get guard with us to join us as well this year.
That is awesome. It's just it's great that you can capitalize in that particular way and take your name and put it behind an incredibly worthy cause. Dick, I got to ask you, because when I'm starting to read the book, what in your mind makes a great college basketball coach? Because you go beyond just wins and losses.
Well, you know, I think when you think about a coach, it's number one, you got to define the ability to get the most out of your people. I think that is the key. I think great coaches, Bill, you've been around the game, you've been at a pro level with the Packers as well. You understand that the great coaches have the ability to hide liabilities that players possess, but they capitalize on the strengths they possess and be able to get the most out of them. I mean, there are some great coaches that don't win, like guys who win big, because maybe they don't have the resources. You know, it's not an equal feel when you talk about the collegiate level in a way. I mean, I remember one time vividly. John Calipari, he was coach in Massachusetts, and he comes up to me at a Final Four, and I mean, he was upset. So I heard you the other day, Dickie V, talk about the five greatest coaches, the unbelievable Rolls-Royce superstar coaches. He said, come on, man, give me a break. He said, and you should know better because you coached at the University of Detroit where your phone budget wasn't as big as Michigan's, but your budget wasn't as big as Michigan's phone budget. And I was stunned, you know, when he said that, and I could see him being upset. And I said, you know what? I thought about that when I walked away, and I said, how true that is, because it's not fair. I mean, certain guys, it comes down, when you talk about college basketball recruiting, you got to get players. Mm-hmm. Without players, you don't win. But then you got to handle the egos of those players, and that's what separated the John Woodens, the Mike Krzyzewskis, the big-time winners, the ability to get the players who was number one option all through high school and to be a number four option. So there's certain criteria you look at a coach. I think, though, it comes down to the ability to get the most out of your talent.
And then there's the talent portion of it. You start going through the best of the point guards, shooting guards, forwards, centers. For what you've had a chance to see, there's been so many standout players. I would not even begin to know how to separate. Obviously, there's some truly great that can go right to the top of the list. And after that, there is so much good talent that you've had a chance to witness over the years.
Oh, my God. You got it so right. It's the fun of it. You know, I all started this when I grew up as a kid in New Jersey. My mom and dad, they had a fifth-grade education. They had a doctorate of love, and each of them had nine brothers and sisters. And on Sunday, my mother would make breakfast and have all the bagels and the donuts and the coffee and the juice out. And a lot of my uncles, after Mass, would go to church. After Mass, would come over to the house, and they would come over, and the debates would start. They were fanatical. I mean, absolute, just super, super sports fans. And the debates would start living in New Jersey, right near the Washington Bridge, basically 20 minutes away. And, I think my Uncle Tom would scream, are you kidding me? I think Duke Snyder's the best center fielder of all. Come on, man, number four, the Dodgers. And my Uncle Mike would scream, God, Tom, you don't know anything. Are you kidding me? He can't hold the Mick shoes. Mickey Mantle is the best. And then my other uncle would scream, take those two guys, give me a break. They can't play with the Say Hey Kid, Willie Mays. And then my father would jump in, and he would say, take all those guys, forget about it. He said, the only guy in the Hall of Fame who never made a great catch because he was always waiting for the ball was the Yankee Clipper, Joe DiMaggio. And I would jump in, and I'd have so much fun doing that. And that's what this is about. I picked the four best coaches, right? Krzyzewski, Knight, and certainly Dean Smith. I think those three are automatic. And I had people the other day going crazy, Bill, on Twitter. They're ripping me left and right about how could that guy, he must be getting senile. How could he have the top four coaches and not have John Wooden? Well, if they read the front of the book, and I put up a tweet, if you would learn to read and look at the front of the book, it tells you specifically right there, It's my 40 years. John Wooden did not coach in my 40 years.
Yeah. No, I get it, and that's what I read that as well, and I thought because I saw Roy Williams there, and I said, and I was thinking the exact same thing, and then I went back and read it, and looked at exactly what you were saying. So no, I get it. I understand where you're coming from. You're doing it by what you've actually witnessed, and that's what I like about it. And Dick, it's a tremendous book. So when you talk about all the great moments, and is there a great? And this was one question I had a listener ask you because I think it's legitimate. Out of all the great moments, is there one kid or coach that you've seen that wasn't the greatest but had one of the most memorable moments that you think that's what this sport is all about?
Well, my friend, we've had so many great guys. I think about, for example, Rolly Massimino pitching that perfect game against Georgetown was incredible. So, I mean, Georgetown, heavy favorites, second half, they hardly missed any shots, and to see the joy and the jubilation. What about my buddy Jimmy V?
Right.
I mean, nobody gave them a chance. That moment was always special to me because at the press conference, that was the first game I was ever assigned by ESPN to go to and to work, and it was in 1983. Network started in 79. So I go there in 83, and there I am sitting at the press conference after the national title next to Jimmy's father, Rocco. And he was like, unbelievable. Jimmy was just had the media at the palm of his hand, one-liners flying. And Rocco leaned over to me. He says, Bob, that's my boy. I can see how proud he was of that moment. And those are things I'll remember all my life. You know, Wisconsin, I'm going to remember all my life, Bill. All my life. because the first game I ever did in the history, and it was the first game in the history of ESPN in terms of major college basketball, on December 5, 1979, I walked into Chicago for DePaul versus Wisconsin. Was Bill Cofield. He had the great player Matthews, whose son now plays in the NBA. And it was against the number one team, DePaul, with Aguirre, and certainly Ray Myers on a sideline. And that was my day where I thought, to be honest with you, I'd be there for maybe 3 weeks to be back coaching on a collegiate level. 40 years later, 40 years. I can't believe it. I pitched myself. I was telling Rick Pitino earlier today, I was on a podcast with him. I said, I can't believe this is 40 years. Not only is it 40 years, I'm going to have Tuesday night, I'm getting inducted into the National Broadcasters Hall of Fame, and it'll be a special moment for me up in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
What makes it so special is that I've never considered myself, you're a broadcaster. Guys I work with, the play-by-play guys, they're broadcasters. They know how to get in and out. I'm just a jock, man. Somebody gave me a microphone and said, talk about the game you love. I'm getting in with guys like Bob Costas and Jim Nance and Mary Carrillo. Those are broadcasters. They're journalists. They understand all that. Me, what am I? I give an opinion. You may like it. You may not like it. But I have an opinion. I have a lot of fun. And all I know is some people ought to try it because it's worked. I'm in 14 Hall of Fames. And I can't run, jump, shoot. And I got a body by Linguini.
There you go. That was Dickie V a little bit earlier today. Great stuff from him. We certainly appreciate him joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Hiring drivers right now, you work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, I'm going to get done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, go to schneiderjobs.com. Going to wrap things up. Coming up next in the Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Now, a green and gold update. Here's Mike Clemens.
More roster moves for the Packers. Defensive back Kevin King will finish the season again on IR. King played by a hamstring injury. In two seasons, Kevin King will have appeared in only 15 games out of a possible 32. Backup running back Trey Carson also placed on IR after suffering a rib injury a few weeks ago. The team claimed Raiders defensive lineman Fadal Brown and former Badgers defensive back Natrell Jamerson from the Texans. Interim head coach Joe Philbin asked about his decision to fire longtime McCarthy assistant Winston Moss after Moss tweeted out that Aaron Rodgers and everyone else in the building needs to be held more accountable.
It's important, obviously, that everybody's on the same page, that we're all moving forward in the same direction. As you know, Winston's an excellent football coach. I've known him a long time. Respect him. He's an excellent, outstanding family man. So it wasn't an easy decision, but I just didn't feel like the fit right now is where it needs to be, and so came to that decision.
On Sunday, Joe Philbin, who's been an offensive coordinator and NFL head coach, will be the play caller for Aaron Rodgers when the Packers host the Falcons. Philbin asked, when's the last time he actually called plays during a regular season game?
It's been a while. Trying to think. Might have been in about 20 years, maybe. I think it was at Northeastern, if I'm not mistaken.
Aaron Rodgers asked if he's ready for a different voice in his radio helmet other than Mike McCarthy.
Well, I've been translating Pittsburgh for a long time, so I think I'll be able to figure out his East Coast dialect a little.
That's Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. I'm Mike Clemens on the Bill Michaels Show.
Good stuff. Appreciate it, Michael, as always. Hey, don't forget, coming up after the program tonight, 6 to 8, we are going to be at Maxwell's in Cedarburg. Bart Winkler, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, the Fan's going to be there, along with our Green and Gold analyst, Paul Emig, who will be there as well. Hope to see you out there tonight, 6 to 8. It's brought to you by Bud Light, Maxwell's in Cedarburg. Really looking forward to it. Gary Ellison came in here a little while ago, so all smiles. And said, that wasn't, you just showed me where what was going on. He said, did you see the Carissa Thompson stuff? And I said, no. What do you do with her now? Put it this way, all you got to do is go Google Carissa Thompson and videos or something. But apparently some things are being leaked. And wow. What do you do now? Holy moly. So that makes the old who was it? Who was the girl that was with the guy out of Poison? Or Motley Crue. Motley Crue. Who was the one girl? She had her own movie. She played in Baywatch. Her videotapes were leaked. God, I can't think of her name off the top of my head. Pamela Anderson. Thank you very much. That makes Pamela Anderson's videos look like Barney the Dinosaur. Oh, my God. Well, there you have it. So we're going to be back tomorrow. See, Joe and I get to leave and regroup after that. Gary's got to go on the air now. He eats his soup. He enjoys his sandwich. And like nothing happened. He's going back on the air. So now, let me say this. It was all to her boyfriend. But somebody got a hold of her phone or something. And yeah, it's... Oof. So, there you go. How do you come back from that? How do you resurrect your career? Look, Marv Albert was reported dressing up in women's lingerie and jumping on a girl's back and biting her in the neck, and he's back. You know, Trump's our president, and they caught him on a bus saying where you should grab people. He's a president. She may get promoted. Network vice president after this, then. I don't think so, though. Ain't happening. Time for us to go. Have a go and swoop!
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.